Okay, Shalom Rabbi. We are in Bezos Hashem Shari Tshuva, Shar Beis, Ois. Ois Ches. Rabbi Yehuda is now trying to clue us into another one of the signals to really take stock of our lives, to fix what needs to be fixed, to move ahead in things that need to move ahead. And that signal is aging. Aging. This is Hashem's chesed of reminding us that soon we're going to be arriving at the destination. So now, he told us that there are people who won't be moved to tshuva. Why? They won't be moved to improvement, to growth. Why? Because they don't see the need. They don't see that there's anything that needs to be improved. Anything that I'm doing is perfectly fine. And what is there to fix? What is there to improve? So he tells us that this is inevitably a result of being numb, being spiritually numb. There's always areas to be aware of. And now he adds, sometimes it's simply the result of the lack of understanding. Because they aren't coming to hear. They aren't coming to learn. Again, they're very complacent. They're happy with their path in life. They don't think, why should anything be better or different? I, by virtue of who I am, it must be as good as it can get, right? And therefore, they're not coming to learn. They're not coming to hear. And therefore, they're not coming to hear the admonitions, the teachings of Chachamim. Like the pasuk says, a non-serious person, that's how it translates right now in this context, a non-serious person doesn't want to hear admonitions. He won't go to the wise. He prefers to live with the understanding that everything is hunky-dory. And what's actually going on is that he's robbing himself of the great opportunity that life is meant to be. Now he continues and he tests and he says the other side of the coin is the conscientious. He says this is like the famous paradox, right? We mentioned that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter also talks about this, that the greater the person, the more fault he sees with himself. The more fault the person has, the less fault he sees with himself. The people who are truly great and who are truly in a high spiritual place, they're always, the way he puts it, is roaring in their mind, meaning they're always in a certain, they're never complacent. They may be content, they're happy with their place in life, with their lot in life, the fact that they were living a life of Avodas Hashem, but complacent not.
How do they do that without having anxiety?
What's that?
How do they do that without becoming anxious?
Oh, that's a very good question. How do they do that without becoming anxious? That's a very good question. It's a tough balance. Ultimately, the answer to this is also something that requires work, but it lies in the understanding that Hashem expects you to be working, but doesn't expect you to be working more than your pace. Meaning, what is incumbent on you is to be aware of the different areas, to be taking the steps necessary to be aware of the different areas, which we might say, that's right. That's right. The Rebbe is quoting the Mishnah in Ovitz, which is Mamish this
Yisoid. You don't have to do 100% of what's out there. You have to do what's
that's right. Exactly. Loy alecha melacha ligmar. It's not incumbent on you to complete the job. But on the other hand, you do not have the liberty of sitting back idle.
Abstaining.
Sasha, of abstaining. Good. So the idea is the understanding that Hashem expects you to be hustling. Hashem expects you to be busy. But to do it in a way that will work, to do it in a way that enables you to move through life in a way that can be sustained long-term, right? Without going overboard in terms of the anxiety, in terms of the need to reach perfection. You may never reach perfection. You never will. You know what? Because even if you perfect all the things that you think are wrong with your life now, you'll become exposed to higher levels. The higher a person grows, the higher the levels he becomes exposed to. And therefore, the greatest of people, right? Because they were so great, they were aware of how much higher there is to go. But go about it with Reb Michal Yehuda Lifkovich, a giant who I had this chus of being exposed to. This was a man who epitomized serenity. He epitomized serenity. He spoke slowly, deliberately. He moved slowly. There's always just exuded a certain serenity. And one time when they were talking to him about, you know, Bachram being anxious, etc., he said, I always live with the thought of, what does Hashem want me to be doing right now? What does Hashem want me to be doing right now? Meaning, I know that I have certain areas that I need to work on. You take the time to learn those areas. You know, let's start a step back. Start a step back. You have to be connected to Musa. Whatever exactly that will mean, whether it means for you learning a Musa, say, for 15 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day, whatever amount of time it will be, whether it means listening to Shiurim, whether it means being in touch with certain Rabbanim, you want to be in subject to the influence of Musa on a regular basis, on a regular ongoing basis. And this is what makes you sensitive to the areas that require improvement, right? You know, the famous thing that they say that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was very much pushing the Musa idea. And somebody asked him, what if I have very, very limited time in the day? Should I learn Gemara or should I learn Musa? So Yisrael Salanter told him, learn Musa, and then you'll discover that you have a lot more time in the day for learning. In other words, Musa makes you attuned to the things, what there is to do. But sometimes, yeah, people approach it in the wrong way, and it turns into just becoming dejected about what a lousy state I'm in. But you know what? There's no problem with being in a lousy state. This might sound like a chiddush. There's no problem with being in a lousy state. The problem is remaining in a lousy state and being complacent about that lousy state. If a person is in a lousy state and says, okay, I want to get a handle on this. I want to understand what are the things that I need to fix here. And I want to make a plan of, okay, what's my plan of action? What should I put my attentions to first? How should I be approaching you? You can't take on too many things at once. You can't take on too many things at once. But you know what? Mamish was just the other day, maybe yesterday, maybe even today, a Teiras Avigdor came in. Right? They send every day out one of the questions that Avigdor Miller was asked. And I'll read it. I'll actually read it out because this is Mama Shaul's subject. Give me a moment. No, not this. I'm sorry. It's worth, I'll take a minute out to look for it. I don't seem to be finding it. Yeah, it was this week. Okay. Well, I'm not finding it. Okay, I won't spend too much time on it. Yes, it's this. Sorry, I'll get one more try. No, it's not. What's that?
I got it on my email. Probably.
Have it on your email. Okay, so it's about, basically he was asked, yeah, okay, Kaval. But basically he was asked about the idea of working on Midas. A person sees that he has 7 Midas that require urgent attention. What should he do? Right? So his answer was, 1 Midah at a time. Unless you have a very disciplined way of going about, meaning there are ways of working on midas, a few midas at a time, in a way that won't overwhelm you. It's a very specific system. He quite recommended that. Sefer Cheshben HaNefesh. But Cheshben HaNefesh is all discipline in itself, which again enables you to go about working on a few things simultaneously, but in a very worked out, disciplined kind of way. Not just like trying to conquer the whole world in one shot. outside of that.
What's your answer there?
What's that?
I
can get an email, yeah. Oh, you found it?
Oh, just email. No, I was trying to Google Parasitic address, see if there's a website.
Oh, no, so I have that, but I'm not finding that particular one. Okay, whatever. I won't work too hard on it. But the point being, getting back to our subject, the point being that you have a lot of things to work on. You have a lot of things to perfect. You know what? We can put it into one big thing, one big chisaron that you have. You are not yet at the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? You're not yet at the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. There we can boil all your chisaronis into one big chisaron, right? Instead of working on that, how can you not be at the level of Moshe Rabbeinu? Work on yourself, whip yourself into shape, and be at the level of Moshe Rabbeinu tomorrow. What do we say? We say that no. Hashem expects you to be busy, but at your pace. Now, here this can get tricky. You have to be seriously and conscientiously involved with the understanding that if I make slow progress on a midah, if I make slow progress on something that I'm working on, Hashem is happy with that. Hashem is happy with that. Right? Rabbi Nina says that, talks about the Mishnah Novice that says, which basically means if a person fulfills more than he knows, then his chachma will taka be, it has a cue, it'll last. So Rabbi Yain asks, what does that mean that a person fulfills more than he knows? How can you fulfill more than you know? And Rabbi Yain says this is something very fundamental in understanding the whole approach to Avodah Hashem. Hashem gives us, has very, very high demands, very, very high standards, which basically means that as high as you get, there will always be higher things to do. But as soon as a person commits, Rabbeinu Yehuda says, to, okay, I understand that there's a lot I don't know. I have to know it all. So I'm going to set about knowing it all. But I can't learn Shas in a day. I can't learn all of Shulchan Aruch in a day. How much can you do in a day? I can do 2 halachas a day. You did 2 halachas a day conscientiously, and you're going to fulfill everything as you learn it? Yeah. If you do that, then Hashem says, all right, as far as I'm concerned, you're already keeping all of Shulchan Aruch. That's what Rabbeinu Yehuda says. And that, he says, is the pshat. The person is fulfilling more than he knows. Right? So that's the understanding. Yes, we always have to be moving forward. We always have to be figuring out what are the areas we need to be improving. There always are. But that does not necessitate anxiety. You can go about that with serenity, with the understanding that as long as I'm keeping busy, as long as I'm not sitting back idle, as long as I'm conscientiously making a point of moving ahead, of growing, Hashem is happy with that. He doesn't demand of me to get to the all the way over the mountain in one shot. Now, I'll tell you a very beautiful pshat that I heard from my uncle, Rabbi Ber Yaakov, one of my rebbes. Said there's a Gemara that says that La'asim Lavai, in the future, at the end of time, Hashem is going to slaughter the Yetzer Hara. Everybody's going to be watching. It says that to the tzaddikim, it's going to have the semblance of a mountain. And the tzaddikim will be in awe. How are we able to overcome this mountain? To the Rishayim, they'll have the semblance of a hare. And they'll say, how is it that we didn't manage to just break through this one hare? That's what was holding us back the whole time, a hare, right? So the famous kasha is, what is the Yetzer Hara? Is it a mountain or a hare? Right? Why would Hashem show it? We make the tzaddikim feel good even though it's not true, or make the Rishayim feel bad even though it's not true. So the truth is that Hashem's expectations are a mountain. But the way Hashem expects you to go about it is, there's a, you know, like cutting a ribbon, there's a ribbon stretched across the entrance to the store. You cut the ribbon and then you go in. So there's a hair. But Hashem says, the hair stretched across the bottom of the mountain. Hashem says, right now, all I expect of you is to break that hair, move forward where that hair was. As soon as you do that, there's another hair. Now break that one and move ahead. All Hashem expects is break one hair. As soon as you break that one, break another one. Break another one. Tzaddikim spent their lives moving from hair to hair. They never realized that they actually got to the top of a mountain. All they know is that they spent their lives overcoming hairs. And all of a sudden they're shown at the end of the time, look, you actually got to the top of Mount Everest. Whereas the Rishayim, They got stuck on that one hair. They never grow. They never overcame it. They never broke through it. And therefore, they're shown you couldn't get through this. But all Hashem expects is that one step at a time.
So you're like bodybuilding, you do increments. You start with the 5 pound weights, then you do the 10 pound weights.
That's right.
You do the 10 pounds. And so someone might get up to 5 pounds and say, I can't do this, you know, do, you know, 50 of these races. Then you know, do a few of them. Eventually, you work up.
Work your way to it. That's right. So you can't, so this is really the idea. Like we were saying before, you always have to realize that there is room for growth. If a person says, my life is pretty much in shape, it means that he is spiritually comatose. You have to take the measures necessary to become aware, to become attuned of the areas for growth, and you have to be working at them conscientiously, but working at them conscientiously in a way that works, in a pace that works. That's all that Hashem expects, even if it means that you'll never fully master the Midah. You have to aim for it. Work conscientiously. But that's all. To be working conscientiously, constantly, consistently, with a plan. Okay, we'll stop here. To you.